Want to know how to host a wine dinner? We have the answers.
Plus, we'll serve up a great dish to enjoy with any wine.
And we're going to profile a top California winery. All of that and more is next.
Oh, wait a minute, Igor. May I look at the bottle?
What for do you want to look?
Hey, watch, see if it's a vintage year. Is it?
Yes. Oh, that's a bad year. Bad year.
Perhaps this one's better for soft American.
No, this is a good year.
Now we will pour. You from your bottle, me from mine.
It's a Democratic. Oh, yeah.
It's the Wine Crush, a show that's all about wine and the lifestyle it creates. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson and Michael Ambrose.
We've got to protect our phony baloney jobs.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we're your host on the tour on the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, everything that goes in your glass. We are here to tell you everything you didn't ever want to know about wine. For those of you who want to reach out to us and participate in the show, you can reach us at 877-4-CRUSH-1, or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. Well, certainly we have got a great show ahead of you today.
We sure do.
We are going to talk about hosting a wine dinner, how to do it, what not to do, and how to have a little bit of fun with it. Also on today's show, we have Richard Hake, our resident chef, joining us with some great recipes to get us through the end of summer. And finally, of course, we're going to hear from you, our listeners. We're going to take some calls, we're going to take some emails, and answer all those universal wine questions that have been bouncing around your head.
That's it.
All right, Michael, before we get in the bulk of it, we've got to talk about the important stuff.
Oh, yeah? And what would that be?
Well, what are you drinking?
Well, I'll tell you, I had a great wine off of a grocery store shelf last night.
You didn't use a glass?
I did use a glass last night, and the night before I didn't.
Oh, you used the shelf the night before. Okay.
That's right. For those of you who've ever heard of Castello Banfi, they're a great Italian producer. And right now, you can find some Chianti Reserve. The Reserve means it stayed in a barrel a little bit longer. It's a little bit smoother. It's got a little bit more complexity. I happen to have picked up an 04 version of that. It was really, really fantastic, and it cost less than $17.
It's always nice when you find wines that you can drink, Michael, that are less than $20. That's shocking for me.
That's no doubt. Now, how about you? What have you been drinking?
I have actually been drinking inexpensively. I think you made a comment about this earlier. I've been drinking in bulk.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been a rough summer trying to get the end of things. There is a little wine called Tunnel of Elms. Oh. And you see it on a lot of restaurant wine lists. You see it in some of your retail shops. But you want to talk inexpensive, it's under $8 a bottle.
Wow.
There's a Chardonnay, there's a Cabernet, and a Merlot. They're all great. Of course, I wouldn't recommend mixing them all together at one time.
Yep.
However, when you take them one varietal at a time, they are very, very good. But they satisfy any thirst, especially as warm as it's been.
Right.
It has just been the perfect thing to hit home with me. The box of straws that you have to drink the wine along with that usually only runs you $1.29. So you can get out from under $25 with straws and wine and you're good to go.
And do you know, I skip the straws and just bring the funnel.
There you go. You're a smart man.
So what are we going to talk about today?
What we're talking about today is how to host a wine dinner at your home.
Cool.
A lot of our listeners have emailed and called in saying as it's getting cooler out, they're getting ready to do some entertaining.
Right.
They want to have the new neighbors over. They want to celebrate the University of Georgia's victories on college game day. You know, whatever
yeah, right.
It happens to be, they want to invite their good friends over and want to have a wine dinner. They want to have easy food and good wine, but don't want to look ridiculous. What do our listeners need to know about putting a wine dinner together?
You figure out how many people you're going to have. Let's just say you're going to bring over three couples, and so you've got eight people. What I do is I go out and buy a case of wine. And what will happen is I'll go to the grocery store, get some of that spicy crab dip, get a bottle of sparkling wine or even one of those little rosé things, and start out that way. The champagne, because it's got the effervescence in it, the CO2, will get people giggly and happy to start right away. And then I go from light to dark. So I'll usually do like a grilled scallop or grilled shrimp outside on the grill. Then I'll have a meat dish, and we'll probably go from something like either a Riesling or a Chardonnay, then go to a Cab or a Syrah. And by that time, everybody's smiling.
Makes sense. Michael, you said something. You said you usually go light to dark.
Right.
Does that mean food color and wine color, or is that just your wine?
You know, it really does mean food and wine color, because if you start with a fish and you have that light wine, they typically go better together. And if you start with really heavy wines to begin with, it kind of washes out the flavor of the light ones, and you stain your teeth too early.
Oh, you hate to stain your teeth. You might actually have pictures later.
That's exactly right. Now, how about you? What, you got any thoughts on anything more than that?
You and our listeners know that I am not a culinary genius.
Right.
I don't like spending time in the kitchen. I don't like putting that much effort into things. However, I can make my house look like Martha Stewart, but I
okay.
cheat. I go to the frozen food section at your local Mega Mart, be it your grocery store or a high-end specialty store.
Right.
Something as simple as even TGI Fridays, they do a spinach dip out of the frozen section.
Okay.
And I just gather up little things like that throughout.
Well, that's cool.
So if I was hosting dinner for eight people, I'd probably get two different kind of dips.
Okay.
Seriously, out of the frozen section.
Okay.
Then I might go and get some kind of very large piece of beef.
Yeah.
That could be thrown on the grill, like a linen broil.
Sure.
Even something as simple as baked potatoes, salad, green beans, the fallback company dinner.
Yeah.
But what I think is fun with it is I make a point, like you were saying, if you have eight people over for dinner, I have eight different bottles of wine.
Okay. Yeah.
And for our listeners, this does not mean that you have a sit-down dinner and you have to have eight glasses in front of you. You take the wine, you open it all up, and you let people taste a little bit of everything. That way they can taste it with the beef, they can taste it with the potato, the dips, whatever else. And that way people get to try a lot of things, and you find out what matches and what works.
And you know, one other thing you can do is you can put two glasses in front of everybody and pour two different wines in there and say, okay, this is the course, these are the two wines, you check it out, tell me which you like better.
That's perfect. Actually, I know we have Richard coming in the show. We'll have to make sure we ask him how he feels about something like that.
Yeah, cool.
Call us. Talk to us about your upcoming wine events and dinners. Call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at info@winecrush.com. Well, right now we have a valued listener that has called in to our wine line.
Hi, my name is Lori. I live on Lake Lanier in Cumming, Georgia. I'd like to ask the question of, can you recommend a white wine that both my husband and I, who typically drinks Merlot, would enjoy? I typically drink Chardonnay. He typically drinks Merlot or Pinot Noir, and he has discovered he likes some Pinot Grigios. I'm just wondering if you can recommend maybe a nice Pinot, maybe another white wine that the two of us would enjoy. Thanks so much.
I think it's great what you're talking about with you and your husband. Let's see, y'all like Pinot Noirs, you like Pinot Grigios,
right.
You like Merlots. So you have a good, well-rounded palate already. If he's learning to like white wine, I think a basic Chardonnay is going to be a very, very good place to start.
Yeah, I agree. And but it's got to be a big, full-bodied style, because the guy that likes the red wine, he's looking for some grip there, you know? And the one that really comes to my mind is Dutton Ranch, and that's an expensive one, but it would knock him silly. He would love it, and you'd live happily ever after that.
Well, Lisa does live on Lake Lanier, so we can't knock him too silly. He might fall overboard. But actually, shockingly enough, I disagree with Michael. I think if he's liking Pinot Grigios, that you need to find a lighter style Chardonnay. And I'm thinking about something from the Sonoma Valley that's not overly oaked, something like Rodney Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney Strong does a Sonoma Chardonnay that I think is absolutely outstanding. And, of course, Rodney does some great things. For our listeners, Rodney Strong was actually a ballet dancer.
That's right, yeah.
Who decided that he was going to go ahead and get into the wine business and start his own winery. And, of course, he has been immensely successful, as anyone who walks through their local Mega Mart or restaurant can know. But he always had a great line. Because he was used to being in leotards, and in his later life, he decided that he was just going to wear the blue jeans and boots. Anytime he started a wine dinner, he would say, for those of you who have seen me perform, just remember, those auditoriums are very, very cold. Regardless, we're getting off on tangents.
Yes, okay.
Well, Lori, I hope that helps you. We encourage you, try our Chardonnay recommendations. Call us back. Let us know. 877-4-CRUSH-1.
Empty wine glass.
All right, we are getting ready to take a small break right here. But when we return, we will continue along our line of talking about how to host a wine dinner at home. And, of course, we'll be joined by Richard Hake and, of course, our ever-important winemaker guest.
There you go.
So stay with us. And the guitar's got some worn-out strings.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 MPG highway to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 MPG highway and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy?
229.
How many did
34
they?
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was he?
9/17/75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. You call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Bring the ball up. See the court, baby. See the court.
Let's go.
Right, see the open man. Go past.
Listen carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back.
What do you hear?
Good deed.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot. Yes.
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
Now move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
For all sorts of fun information about wine, go to our new website, winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are having a lot of fun talking about our ideas of how to do a wine dinner at home. But we need to hear from you. And to do that, that means you call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or you less brave souls can email us at info@winecrush.com. All right, so we've been having fun talking about how to host a wine dinner at home.
Yep.
Now, some of us have had the experience of doing this in the past. And sometimes, even for those of us who consider ourselves professional, it does happen that they aren't less than perfect conditions.
Oh, my God. That's never happened to you, has it?
Oh, no. Of course. We've laughed and joked about the fact that I can't cook. That's why we have Richard on the show, so we can actually find someone to give me a recipe.
I know the number of times I've done it, which is probably once a month for the last 25 years. Do you recollect any specific instance that just stands out in your mind as being either funny or hilarious or embarrassing?
All right. I do. Okay. Now, let's face facts. Our listeners listen because we are the wine experts, so you will truly appreciate this story.
Okay.
When I first got in the wine business, I decided that my parents, of course, they had to understand how great wine and food were.
Right.
So they needed to taste different wines, and it needed to be showy, and we had to do this grand dinner. Very fortunately or unfortunately, no matter how you want to look at it, I had invited my best girlfriend, who's also in the wine business, over for dinner.
Okay.
Now, here is a... the problem with wine dinners when you buy 8 bottles per person or something along those lines is you really need to eat and drink at the same time. You don't need to drink a lot before you start eating. Right. Otherwise, you kind of have problems like we did. So I had mentioned earlier that my idea of doing a wine dinner is to get a very large slab of beef, and I had gotten a huge tenderloin that we were going to grill. Well, unfortunately, my girlfriend and I decided that the flavors of Chardonnay were just too much, and we had to discuss them a little more. So we had probably finished off 2 bottles before we even got to getting the tenderloin ready.
I see.
So we were going to broil the tenderloin in a 500-degree oven, so we got out our broiling pan.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the broiling pan out. We get the tenderloin out to do this wonderful wine dinner at home.
Right.
And we try and look at the tenderloin. Well, the tenderloin was overlapping the pan by at least 8 inches on both sides.
Okay.
So here my girlfriend and I are in the kitchen trying to bend it, trying to move it, trying to make it fit in the pan so that we could actually continue to cook dinner and present everything so we would look suave and debonair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this went on for about 15 minutes, a little more Chardonnay, a little more wondering, a little more Chardonnay, a little more wondering. So at this wonderful wine dinner I'm doing for my parents, my mother walks in the kitchen 15 minutes later. She takes one look at both of us, grabs a knife out of the butcher block, one fell swoop, wabap.
Cuts
the tenderloin in half, puts it on the pan, and walks out of the kitchen and never says a word.
That's great.
Word to our listeners, when you're doing a wine dinner, do not worry about formality. Do not worry about anything. But the best advice I can give you, do not drink 2 bottles of Chardonnay before you start the adventure.
You're absolutely Confucius at that time.
Yes. All right. Well, speaking of cooking and cooking disasters, we have the man who can help us avoid those things. We have Richard Hake, our chef, joining us. Richard, are you here on The Crush?
I am here. That's a great story about your beef tenderloin. At least it got done. You got to eat dinner. A lot of these wine dinners, you never get around to eating dinner.
Yes, I was told I ate dinner, Richard. Honestly, I can't tell you for sure I did. But, see, you never have these problems, do you?
Fortunately, I have not had these problems in many years. Have I had them before? Yes. I am guilty of the same pleasures of a little too much wine before dinner gets out.
All right. Well, what are you joining us with today? What are we cooking in our kitchen for our wine dinner?
Perfect thing for a wine dinner, to start any dinner I like when I'm having guests over, a soup, because it's just ladle the soup. A really nice, attractive garnish, and you can sit down and join your guests right away. And you can make the soup days in advance. And as we all know, soup's better the second day. So this is a great recipe when you're entertaining.
That's cool. That's great.
Come on, liquid on a spoon and Chardonnay? That's not going to work. I'd have to wear black or yellow or whatever. What color is the soup, Richard, so I know what shirt to wear with it?
Yellow.
Okay, good. I'll have to wear a lemon yellow soup if I'm actually going to do this. Richard, of course, is going to go into detail, but for those of you who are driving, we don't want you driving with one knee. You can go to our website, winecrush.com, and check out the recipe. So, Richard, for those of our listeners that are sitting at home pen in hand, what we got going on in the kitchen?
We've got a corn soup with roasted chilies and queso fresco. So that's my Spanish lesson for the day. Queso fresco is just a fresh cheese, and you can find that cheese easily in the Mexican specialty end of the grocery store. But if not, substitute a goat cheese or feta cheese. Here in wine country out here in Napa right now, we're still getting a lot of corn in. Fall and corn is pretty much synonymous for the season. And this is a real easy soup where you throw everything in a pot, let it simmer away, blend it, and you're pretty much ready to go. The only hard work is roasting and cleaning the chilies, and I recommend a poblano chili for that.
Yeah, and so what are all the ingredients? Give us a rundown there.
The soup is onion, celery, fresh corn, cumin, chicken stock. Pretty straightforward. Nothing that's too hard to find at the grocery store. Cook it for like just about 20 minutes. Puree in a blender. Pass it through a fine mesh strainer, and you've got a silky, rich soup.
Cool.
And garnish it with chilies, a little cheese, and cilantro.
Speaking of silky and rich, I know what I'm going to drink with this. Richard, what do you drink with it?
Well, I had a funny feeling you're going to say what you had two bottles of that last dinner you hosted. Chardonnay?
Yeah, I had a feeling she was going to say Chardonnay, too.
Absolutely. You look at corn, you look at chilies, you look at a little bit of cheese. It's a good balance all the way around.
Yeah,
but I want something with acid in it. I want, once again, I'm going to go back to my Sonoma Chardonnay, maybe a Rodney Strong, maybe something along those lines.
I agree totally with Laura today. I don't know what's going on.
Golly.
I'm thinking Sonoma County, some cool coastal Chardonnay, some nice acidity, perfect.
I'm thinking a nice, crisp Riesling.
Gee, great shock there. And Richard's a good chef. He doesn't leave any of the seeds in there. All right.
Well, Michael, you know, it's always good to have a little juxtaposition in our wine pairing.
That's right. Exactly.
Or a little jokester, however you want to look at it. Actually, Richard, on a serious note, what we've been discussing today is we've been talking about listeners and us actually hosting a wine dinner at our houses. Michael had brought up a really good point about having two glasses per person so you can compare and contrast. Is that good or bad for the food side of it, you think?
I think it's good. I think the wonderful thing about food and wine and food and what I do every day, it's always learning something new. And having two different wines, and a guest is going to bring over a different bottle of wine than something you purchased, and exploring the different flavors and having fun and taking a moment and pause from a good conversation to say, hey, what's that Chardonnay tasting like with the corn soup? Or what is that Riesling tasting like with the corn soup? And taking a moment just to see what a wine and food pairing, whether it works or not.
Right. I'm with you, my brother.
Look at you. Look at being the peacekeeper, saying you can have Riesling and Chardonnay.
Yeah, you can.
Well, Richard, that is all the peace we can certainly stand for this show, but we do appreciate you being part of the Crush and shedding your wonderful enlightenment and your recipes with us.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
All right. It is always fun to have Richard on the show. For those of you who want to check out his recipe, please go to our website, winecrush.com. While you're there, you can look at mine and Michael's wine recommendations and, of course, pick a side, see which one you would like best. We have a wonderful guest coming up. We are going to speak with the people from Robert Bialy Vineyards when we return.
Great winery.
The Wine Crush.
So, you know, we won the cup in 06, then we won again in 07, so naturally me, Jimmy, Chad, and the guys, we're really happy. And, you know, of course, we've had some...
What's this we? We won in 06, we won in 07. What, are you part of Lowe's Team 48?
Yeah.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today. You'll get the club's free track record magazine, members-only discounts, weekly club emails, and lots more.
This is Jimmy Johnson. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college,
wanna go?
You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read. Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done. I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. knowhowtogo.org. Let's ride.
That was Farnsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking.
Hmm.
You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
We sang Bobby McGee on the hood of my car. Made a wish on every star in that clear September sky. One bottle of wine and two Dixie cups. 3 a.m. I fell in love for the first time in my life.
Oh, welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we're continuing on our journey of talking about the grape. And now we are going to go on a little bit, talk about our lovely planning for a wine dinner. And also, we're going to hear a little bit more from you. But before we hear more from you, we have to encourage you to reach out to us. And to do that, you can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or for those of you not brave enough to actually drop a call on the wine line, email us at info@winecrush.com. Our website, for those of you who just want to be a voyeur and check everything out, is winecrush.com. And once you get on there, you can actually see pictures of the charming Michael Ambrose and me. You can check out our blogs, and we encourage you to comment. I'm starting to write pretty much whatever I want to, just to see if anyone's paying attention.
Yeah, as if you've never done that before. I think you've always kind of followed your own mind.
I'm used to doing it verbally. I'm not necessarily used to doing it in the written word there, so to speak. For those of you who are loyal listeners to the show, you've heard us discuss about the Wine Spectator and how they did the whole magazine that was devoted to the best wine list around the country.
Right.
But also to service standards in restaurants. And of course, with mine and Michael's background, we were just all over that.
That's right. There is a fellow who is a wine critic who submitted a fake restaurant wine list. And on that wine list included some of the wines that had been terribly panned by the Wine Spectator.
What we're talking about, the magazine The Wine Spectator conducts a yearly survey saying who has the best wine list in town.
Right.
Well, it's not like they go around from city to city to city to restaurant and pick up these wine lists.
Yeah, you've got to submit them.
You have to submit them. You have to submit them with your menu. And you have to submit a little $250 fee.
Yes.
Since that implementation of this policy, I have yet to hear of anybody who did not get an award from The Spectator.
Yeah, and you know, that's a shame. It really is. I think I've submitted a couple of wine lists. Having been in country clubs, they wrote me back and said, thanks for submitting, but we don't accept private restaurants. But I do know if you've got a big enough list, they'll give you a grand award.
Size does matter. I think we've covered that on this show. But no, in all sincerity, you look at something like this, and my hat's off to the hoaxer.
Yeah.
In all sincerity, it is nice to take some of these things and poke holes at it, but it does leave it up to us and our listeners. Who do we trust? It comes down to exactly what we tell you on the show. Drink what you like, not what you're told. Don't let the magazines, don't let radio shows, don't let hoaxers preach you into this.
Stomp them grapes and make that wine. Put it in a bottle, boys, and ship it on down the line.
Well, today here on the Wine Crush, once again, we have one of our great honored guests, one of the winery owners out in California. Today we are going to speak to Dave Pramick. He is co-owner of the Robert Bialy Vineyards. Dave,
how do you do?
Welcome to the Wine Crush.
Happy to be aboard.
Thank you so much for calling in. I think a lot of people see Bialy on shelves and know a little bit about the wine, but I don't think anyone has had the pleasure of hearing the full story.
The Bialy Winery had its origins in 1991, but really the Bialy family story goes back to the 1930s when Aldo Bialy's father started planting grapes in Napa, and they ran a little Italian farm in Napa for years, but their a big part of their business was not just grapes, but raising chickens and selling eggs and lots of other produce. When we started the winery in 1991, we started making wine from the family vineyard, and then since then we've incorporated several other families into our repertoire who also grow Zinfandel.
Well, that's great. Just out of curiosity, are y'all making Zinfandel off the grapes that were planted in the 30s?
Yeah, we have a special bottling. Really, we would consider it our flagship wine. We call it Aldo's Vineyard, named after Aldo Bialy, of course, and vines planted in 1937. Vines over 70 years old really give us grapes with beautiful flavors. So, winemakers term character. You know, the grapes have deep flavors that really resonate on the palate, and it has a beautiful soft texture, something we associate with older vines.
How would you describe the difference in the taste of those old vine Zinfandels and your regular vineyard?
There's a textural softness to old vines that kind of melt in your mouth. Quality. The flavors are bold and, you know, deep character, but texturally the wine kind of glides across the palate, has a long aftertaste, a nice finish, and just very kind of round and what a winemaker might call lush. And that combination of the deep flavors and that really smooth texture really make for a special wine drinking experience, I think.
Well, it's just nice to hear lush used in something like that, besides in a sentence like, oh my God, Michael's such a lush.
Yes.
Listen, Dave,
kind of lush, yeah.
You also make some other wines. I believe I read that you make a Syrah and a Barbera and a Sangiovese, lots of Italian different grapes.
We definitely are known as Zinfandel specialists, but another grape that is part of Napa Valley's history is Petite Syrah, and was, until 1970, it was the most widely planted grape in California, or in Napa Valley in particular, and along with Zinfandel, you know, real workhorse grape throughout the history of California winemaking. And in Napa Valley, there's little blocks of Petite Syrah still there, in some cases owned by the same family for generations. And we make small amounts of Petite Syrah from these small vineyards. And then we have another label that we developed called Hill Climber, where we focus on making Syrah wines from Syrah grapes that are grown in the mountain areas around Napa and Sonoma. In addition to that, of course, you know, being an Italian family, we can't resist but do a little Barbera, little bit of Sangiovese, the great Italian grapes. but those are very small lots of wine that really sold through our mailing list.
I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Lambrose.
And we are speaking with Dave Pramick. He is the co-proprietor of Robert Bialy Vineyards. Tell our listeners your website so that they can go on the web and check out everything that Bialy has to offer.
The website is www.robertbialyvineyards.com. And Bialy is spelled B-I-A-L-E.
For our people and our listeners who are just getting into wine and not necessarily can go out and spend that kind of money every day on a bottle of wine, what's your advice to them? What do you advise our novice drinkers out there?
find a wine shop that is specialized in wine. It can be pretty intimidating to walk into the big stores looking at that intimidating selection of wine, like the big wall of wine, as we call it. And retailers, if you develop a relationship with them, will often get you into bargain wines that suit your tastes. You may be a person who likes maybe lighter, fruitier white wines. You may be somebody who likes a richer, a barrel fermented Chardonnay. Or you may have experience with drinking really full bodied wines like Petit Sirah or Cabernet Sauvignon. And I think in my experience, a retailer loves to develop a relationship with a customer and steer them towards things that are affordable and suit their tastes. And in the long run, might even save you some money versus just playing roulette in the big stores, playing the guessing game.
Perfect.
It's been a really great pleasure.
Okay, well, we'd love to have you visit the winery sometime.
All right, I realize it's going to be a little bit of a stretch to go to your wine shops and find Robert Bialy wines, but definitely it's worth the extra gas money to make the effort and check them out.
Absolutely.
All right, as we head to break here at the Wine Crush, we have our weekly wine teaser for you. So, put your brain caps on. At the end of each show, we sign off with the phrase, in vino veritas. Who coined that expression? Besides me, of course.
I think I know.
All right. Well, the answer to this when we return.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
I'm on a test track, riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
So I got me a girl, and I kissed her, and then, oh Lordy, well, I kissed her again, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Sweeter than wine.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we have had a lot of fun so far today talking about planning to host your own wine dinner.
That's right.
We have talked about our successes and how you should do them correctly.
Yes, and we have also talked about that learning curve that occasionally goes with wine dinners.
Yes. Even though we are professionals, you can try it at home, hopefully with better success than what we've had.
That's right.
All right. Before the break, we had asked our weekly wine teaser. We had asked you, who coined the phrase that we use on the show, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth? Michael, you've got the cat that ate the canary grin. Would you care to enlighten us?
Yes, that would be my father, Plato.
He definitely is your grandfather. I
my
give
grandfather.
You that.
Okay, okay. Yeah, and it was a line that was used in his play Symposium.
Well, definitely. As long as you can know Plato, and obviously since we can quote him, I just need a promise from you, Michael.
Yes, and what would that be?
That you never show up in the studio in a toga.
Toga. Toga.
Yes.
Sounds like fun.
I'm sure it does to you. We've gone over the trials and tribulations of hosting a wine dinner in the house.
Right.
If you could think of one thing that is a must-have for a wine dinner, what is it?
It's a sense of humor. You can't take this stuff too seriously. If the wine spills, bring out another bottle and pour it. My goodness, that's what could be any worse. How about, what do you think?
I'm on the same plane with you, and I'm going to take it a little bit further. A sense of humor is just imperative if you're going to host people at your house. Understand that the moment that you put alcohol and people together, something is going to go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen, and as long as you know that from the moment that that first doorbell rings, that wine's going to get on the carpet, a bottle of wine is going to be corked, you're going to forget the bread in the oven,
yeah,
or you're going to forget a necessary component, or there's going to be that one person at the dinner who your ex-sister-in-law insisted on bringing who decides they know everything about wine. If you can't sneak in the kitchen and drink more, at least know that this is the one thing that's going to go wrong at the dinner.
That's right.
Well, for those of you who haven't hosted your own wine dinner, you are still asking us what wines and what varietals work well with friends. So because of that, on our email at info@winecrush.com, Karen from Pittsburgh has sent us an email that reads, during one of your shows, you talked about the many kinds of Rieslings. The one Riesling I had was quite dry, and I didn't like it very much. My friends tell me that most Rieslings aren't that way. What would you suggest?
Mm-hmm.
It's real important to know that Riesling has a lot of different ways it masquerades.
It does, for sure.
It can be sweet, it can be dry, it can be semi-sweet, and it's very difficult most days to tell how that wine is going to taste once you pull it out of that bottle. Most of the time, you have to speak a foreign language to understand whether a Riesling is dry, sweet, or semi-sweet.
Yeah, that's true.
And unfortunately, there is no set pattern right now to be able to tell whether a Riesling is sweet. I think the best advice I can give you is look for tall, skinny, brown bottles when you go to your grocery store, when you go to your Mega Mart to pick out your Riesling.
Yeah, brown or green.
Well, Michael, you are sitting there once again with that look on your face. That means either you need to dash for the door or you have something to say.
It addresses exactly what we've been talking about. It's actually a press release that the International Riesling Foundation has completed a Riesling taste profile. And instead of using those big words that I just mentioned, they're coming up with a terms to describe the relative dryness or sweetness of wines. After extensive deliberations, there are four categories selected. They happen to be dry, medium sweet, and sweet. And I think that will take a lot of mystery out of it.
I think it will. And let's hear it from our listeners. We need a round of applause for my co-host, who for once was timely and informative. Yay, Michael!
Thank you so much.
Excuse me, I have to take a phone call.
1-877-4-CRUSH-1. That's 1-877-427-8741.
Copernicus called, and you are not the center of the universe.
The Wine Crush.
On our wine line, we actually have a brave caller who is calling in to ask us some wine questions. Mickey, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Well, thank you very much. I'm having a dinner party, and I'd like to give you my menu and let you suggest the most appropriate wine.
That sounds cool.
I'm trying some new recipes, which I have tried one other time before. But I'm having beef Wellington.
Ooh, good.
And twice baked potato. And asparagus. And for dessert, I'm having a chocolate mousse. Now, here is my dilemma. And I asked my connoisseur friends what they would suggest. And they said, surprise me. Mm. So, surprise me and help me.
Okay. The sauce that you put on a beef Wellington is actually called Bordelaise sauce.
Right.
That's the red wine sauce that you use. And if you were to go with your connoisseur friends, you would actually be picking up Bordeaux wines. But they're expensive. They're hard to get. They're inconsistent sometimes. My recommendation to you is to pick up the same type of wine that's made in the United States. In the United States, it's called a Meritage Blend. It's a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot and Cabernet Franc and a couple of other different wines.
I think that is, Mickey, I think that is a great recommendation coming from Michael. I'm shocked that's where he went. But no, it is very straightforward. And you can get some very inexpensive red blends, Meritage wines out there. There is one called Ménage à Trois made by Folie à Deux.
Yep,
that would actually
really
be
good.
A great pair for that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have friends who are true connoisseurs, Columbia Crest does a series of reserve wines. And that's out of Washington State. And they do a reserve Merlot that, one, it is really, really good for the connoisseurs. They'll understand that it is a ranked wine, and it's 92 points, and it's lovely. But for the rest of your drinkers, it's just going to go down silky. It's going to go down smooth and be a good blend.
Yep, that's a good choice.
Okay.
Well, Mickey, thank you very much for calling in and being part of the Crush, and we hope your dinner goes well. We want a full report when it's over and done with.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, for the rest of our listeners, we are heading down the home stretch, and we have to take a small break right now. However, when we return, we'll continue our conversation on how to host the perfect wine dinner.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Mark, have you noticed any of the Spectracide Green Ninjas around the track?
Green Ninjas, Doug?
Yeah, I'm serious. I haven't noticed any weeds or nasty crabgrass. They must have used Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer.
You know, I haven't seen any crabgrass.
Using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to take out the weeds without harming your lawn. You see results in as fast as 8 hours.
Hand me a bottle of Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer. I'll get those ninjas in my yard.
Weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
So, you know, we won the cup in 06, then we won again in 07, so naturally me, Jimmy, Chad, and the guys were really happy. And, you know, of course, we've had some...
What's this we? We won in 06. We won in 07. What, are you part of Lowe's Team 48?
Yeah.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today. You'll get the club's free track record magazine, members-only discounts, weekly club emails, and lots more.
This is Jimmy Johnson. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 MPG highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 MPG highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly 1/3 of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Lambrose.
And once again, we are picking up our discussion about having wine dinners at your house.
Right.
And I think a lot of people in the past, they see restaurants advertise wine dinners. We are definitely quote-unquote professionals at this. But I'm telling you, every time I do a wine dinner at my house, chaos reigns.
Yeah, I know. I would say the biggest piece of advice I could give anybody is get far more wine than you ever think you'll need, because you will likely go through it.
I don't know. It depends on whether or not you truly like the guests that are coming to dinner.
Really?
Yes, because if you don't like the guests that are coming to dinner, if you run out of wine...
Then you say, okay, that's it.
Well,
goodbye.
I'm out. They'll leave. Here's a question, Michael, and you've done enough of these that you can probably answer this. Say you're hosting a wine dinner at your house.
Yep.
You invite friends. Maybe you weren't best friends. But invariably, I know if someone tells me that they're going to host a wine dinner at their house, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to show up with a bottle of red and a bottle of white.
No doubt.
So how does the host of the dinner... How do they work those wines in? Do they leave them on the counter? Do they actually open the corks? What is the correct etiquette here, Mike?
You know, I expect when I take a bottle of wine to a dinner that they're going to drink it. Whether or not they, if they've already got the dinner planned, that's fine. But at the end of the dinner, I'm expecting them that they're going to drink it. It's I typically bring two. One is a house gift, and the other is something that I want to share with everybody.
I want someone to call me and tell me that they indeed did pull off the perfect wine dinner. I've been doing them professionally in restaurants for 17 years. And even with Michael's help on major dinners, I have yet to see the perfect wine dinner.
No, there's no such thing. That's the cool part about it. You just keep trying. You can get a little bit better at it, though.
There is perfect company. There are perfect moments. You can plan until your poor little heart goes pitter-patter. But since nothing ever goes as planned, you know, best laid intentions, no matter what, all you can hope for is to learn something out of the dinner and to laugh at least twice.
Absolutely, at least twice every minute.
All right, it only took an hour for Michael and I to tell you everything we know about hosting a wine dinner. But in that hour, unfortunately, we have seen the light and know we have to wrap this up. So, I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And in Vino Veritas, in wine, there is truth.